This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. During this most unusual of presidential campaign years, there have been several books published about former presidents. In his latest project, prize-winning presidential biographer Gene Edward Smith presents a critical but fair-minded appraisal of George W. Bush and his controversial presidency. In Bush, Smith shows how the 43rd president of the United States took personal control of foreign policy, including the decision to invade Iraq. Gene Edward Smith recently joined us to discuss the presidency of George Walker Bush. Gene, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
What were the sources and the research that you used for your biography on George W. Bush?
Gee, well, I write chapter by chapter. And Bush is not the first biography I've done, so I always do my best to look at everything that's been written.
How do you assess George Bush's presidency? Do you think he was the worst president?
No, I don't. I think maybe when I started the book, I did, but I have changed my opinion of that. He did a number of good things. I think most importantly, he arrested the financial turndown in 2008. And if he had not taken the action that the Secretary of the Treasury and the Chairman of the Federal Reserve recommended, we might be much worse off today than we were. So I don't think his presidency is all bad. On the other hand, I think in foreign policy, he was over his head. And I think his decision to attack Iraq is easily the worst foreign policy decision ever made by an American president.
Why do you think it was possibly the worst foreign policy decision ever?
Well, because Saddam was very much in control. Saddam was not involved in 9/11. There was no al-Qaeda presence. There were no weapons of mass destruction. And Saddam kept the lid on Iraq. Iraq was the most secular state in the Middle East. There was no ISIS under Saddam. And the terrorist threat that we face today through ISIS is a direct result of having removed Saddam from the scene. I think that's quite clear why I think that's the worst.
Because he upset the balance of things in the Middle East.
Well, he upset the balance of things, and he, by upsetting the balance of things, he provided an opportunity for ISIS to develop. Under Saddam, it was not there.
Didn't others, particularly Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, didn't they influence Bush in this decision to invade Iraq?
No, I don't think they influenced him in the decision to invade Iraq. I think they helped him do so. But I think this was Bush's decision himself. He was not the creature of Cheney or Rumsfeld.
Now, President Bush became a Christian in 1985. How did his religious views affect his decision-making?
Well, that's a good question, and that's something that most writers on this field have omitted. Bush believed that he was God's agent here on earth to fight evil. And my goodness, if you believe that, then no holes are barred. And I think that's the answer to why Bush decided to attack Iraq. And it's also the answer to the domestic excesses of his administration.
So President Bush was somebody who saw things in terms of good, evil, black, white. There were no grays or in-betweens then.
That's exactly right. You couldn't express it better.
Now, in the book, Gene, you write about Bush describing himself as a decider. And so decisiveness seems like that would be a good attribute for a president to have. How was it also a weakness for him?
Well, it was a weakness because Bush decided on his own. I mean, look, Eisenhower and Roosevelt and Reagan all decided things, but this was as a result of extensive staff work beforehand. But with Bush, that was irrelevant because he was God's agent. For example, before the invasion of Iraq, he called President Chirac of France on the telephone and told him that this was a conflict against Gog and Magog at the end of civilization. Chirac didn't know what he was talking about, and when he found out, that convinced him all the more he didn't want any part of it. But Bush believed that he was God's agent, and that's a very dangerous thing for a president to have.
So he was looking at this as a conflict leading up to Armageddon? Is that what he was saying?
Yes, that's what Bush told Chirac it was. And that's why Chirac, that reinforced Chirac's view that he wanted no part of it.
What do you consider to be the other foreign policy failures whose effects are still lingering with us today?
Most importantly, North Korea. The Clinton administration and South Korea had worked with North Korea beginning in 1994 to bring it back into the family of nations. They were going to provide economic support, and Korea was going to abandon its nuclear capabilities, its nuclear weapons arsenal. And that was almost done. Madeleine Albright, the American Secretary of State in the Clinton administration, went to Pyongyang in December of 2000. The South Korean president came to Washington in March of 2001, thinking he was going to put the final seal on the deal. And that's when Bush objected, and Bush personally objected and said that this is we can't do this. North Korea is an evil government, and we're going to get rid of it. And by not agreeing to that deal in 2001. We're facing a North Korea today. That's a serious problem.
So you were saying that you think that George W. Bush did a good job handling the 2008 financial crisis. Is that because this was a situation where he didn't go it alone? He relied on other people's advice.
Yes, and I think the reason for that, this is 2008, 2007. I think by then he realized that perhaps he was in over his head, and he took the advice of Paulson and Bernanke, which he probably would not have done earlier. For example, when he came into office in 2001, he was determined to have a tax cut. Under the Clinton administration, the United States had run a budget surplus for the last 3.5 years. As you know from the campaign, argued that this is your money, he said, and he was going to return it to the American people. Both his Secretary of the Treasury, Paul O'Neill, and the Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, wanted a trigger in the tax cut so that if the budget surplus ended, the tax cut would end, and Bush would have no part of that. I think that was another serious mistake that he made.
Can you do a comparison for us, Gene, how George W. Bush's presidency compares to his father's on the issue of Iraq?
His father left Saddam in place. As Colin Powell, who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs at the time, said, they left Saddam in place both as a counterweight to Iran, which he was, and because he kept control over the country. George Herbert Walker Bush had the opportunity to remove Saddam and chose not to do so. And so that is a very significant difference. It wasn't that he had failed to do it. It was a deliberate decision on his part not to do it.
Do you think that was partly because George W. Bush embraced the idea, I believe, of a nation building, and his father probably saw some of the risks of trying to do something like that?
Exactly. And also, his father didn't see the world as being divided between good and evil. His father was very experienced in foreign policy and in foreign affairs. Don't forget, he had been the U.S. representative to the United Nations. And he recognized that various countries go various ways. What you want is stability. And his son did not see it in that way.
You, as you noted earlier, you're a presidential biographer. You've written about many different presidents. I just wondered, who do you think is the antithesis among presidents of George W. Bush and why?
Gee, I don't know, but I would say Dwight Eisenhower. Eisenhower ran in 52, among other things, on the idea that he was going to end the war in Korea. And everyone thought that he was going to go to Korea and would defeat the North Koreans. Well, he went to Korea, so the war was unwinnable, and made peace. And Eisenhower kept the United States at peace for the next 7.5 years. No other president can rival that. So I would say that Eisenhower is the exact opposite. Eisenhower did not believe that the world was divided between good and evil. And as you know, he worked closely with Khrushchev toward the end of his term in the Cold War. So I would say Eisenhower.
Gene, is the jury still out on George W. Bush's presidency?
Sure it is. And it will be out for some time. And I think that George W. Bush as an ex-president has been exemplary. He has stayed out of politics completely. I guess someone twisted his arm and he finally, a few days before the fallout primary, endorsed his brother, but otherwise he has stayed totally out of politics. And I think that as a result, his public rating has gone up considerably. Not that people think that what he did was right or wrong. I mean, was right, but because of his post-presidential behavior.
Gene, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Gene Edward Smith, his book is Bush, which takes a look at the 43rd U.S. President George W. Bush.